One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
That's sweet singing, isn't it? That sounds awful good to us down here, just home folks, you know. Thank you, dear ladies, for singing for us. You know, I'd rather have a song and not be able to sing it than be able to sing it and not have a song. Do you know what I'm talking about? I know some people that can sing pretty good, but they don't have anything to sing about. I have a lot to sing about. All right. May we bow our heads now and everybody pray. Lord will bless the sermon today. Our Father, we thank Thee for what You've already served and put on the table. We've enjoyed it. And now then we come to the meat of the Word of God. We realize this is a supernatural task, and the natural man couldn't preach it, and the natural man couldn't receive it. And so, Lord, we pray to bless my tongue and my heart, and bless every ear and every mind that receives this message. Father, fix us where we can get a blessing. We know the devil would fix us where we couldn't. And we pray that Satan will be rebuked and really disturbed and even dismissed. And Father, we pray that every boy shall continue to listen and receive what he needs. And Father, remind all of us that what we want sometimes is not what we need. But Lord, help us to know that Thou dost know what we need. And please fix us, Lord, where we'll want what we need. And then we could have all we want and all we need, too. And so bless these homes and bless the radio friends. So glad that by radio we can share these conferences with the many people who wanted to come but couldn't come, in the hospitals and sick beds and wheelchairs and people that just busy and couldn't get away. So, Lord, Bless these messages, and particularly this one, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bible, please, to a chapter that I read this morning when I got up. You know, I like to read in the Old and the New Testament every day. I like to read straight through the Bible, but I like to divide it up. And I usually read some in the Old Testament. Like this morning I visited a fellow by the name of Saul. And he was a young man. His father said, "Son, the old donkey's got out, and I want you all to go look for him." And so Saul took off down the road, and he went to three cities, and he couldn't find them. And finally one of them said, "Say, you know there's a preacher around here, call him a seer. You know, well, they used to call the prophets seers. That meant they could see. And I believe every preacher ought to be able to see. We ought to see the signs of the times. We ought to see the truth in the Word of God. And we ought to be able to discern." But they called them seers. They were called seers before they were ever called prophets, according to the Word of God in the book of Samuel. And so one of them said, "You know, there's a prophet and a seer over here, and he probably can see where those donkeys are. We better go ask him. He's probably got those donkeys on his radar scope." And so they went over there, you know, and you know who the seer was. It is that little boy. It is that little boy that laid on the pallet that night. And the Lord came to see him and said, "Samuel, Samuel." And he jumped up and beat it to Eli, the preacher. He said, "I'm present. What do you want?" He said, "I don't want anything. That you let me alone and go to sleep." And he said, "I thought sure somebody called me. I believe I heard my name." And I said, "Son, little boy, you hear and think. Your imagination run away with you." So he run over there and lay down on the pallet, you know, and boy, again, that name came, "Samuel." Samuel said, "Now listen, I know my ears are not fooling me. I heard somebody call my name." And he took off the only person he knew. He went to the preacher. He went to the preacher. The preacher said, "Son, I believe you better just try to get some sleep." And sure enough, the third, he said, "Now, wait a minute." He said, "Son, I tell you what, I believe we're getting a call from heaven. And next time, you better answer your phone. I mean, if it rings again, son, grab it and say, speak, Lord, because I'm tuned in." And so sure enough, here came the call again. The Lord called him three times. You know, the Lord does a lot of things in threes. You ever notice that? The Bible said, "Let us make man." It must have been more than God there. And you'll find three mentioned many times in the Bible, which to me is a picture of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant's listening." Now then, he's the fella that they went to see. But I tell you what, when Saul got to him, he got a lot more and find out where the donkeys already been found. But I tell you what happened. He got some anointing oil put on him, and he became the first king. The first king. Well, you have your Bible. I don't know how I got off on that. Do you? Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. We ought to be seers, that's right. We ought to be able to see the truth. Let's see what we can see in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, where I read this morning. But I like to read in the Old Testament. I like to read some in the Psalms, some in the Proverbs, and I like to read some in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then I like to read some of the letters from Paul to the churches, and I like to read some in Revelation, because I know how it's coming out. That's going to be the final unfolding of the truth. Now then, we're going to speak today and study, as long as we have an opportunity here, on sowing and reaping. And we're going to get some fractions worked out again. Strange as it may seem, everybody doesn't hear and respond to the gospel when they hear it. You know, I don't know why anybody would have to hear the gospel twice before they got saved. Unless 2 Corinthians chapter 4 would tell me. You want to turn with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, if you're not saved, I don't tell you why you're not saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See, we got a gospel hider down here. You know that? You know, anybody know who the gospel hider is? See, there's somebody hiding the gospel. There's somebody snatching away the word. We're going to find that in a minute in the 13th chapter. In the fourth chapter, it's beginning at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, if it's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Didn't say uneducated. A lot of educated people still haven't found the gospel. Fact is, I don't know of anything that'll keep a man from being saved like getting real educated without Christ. It's hard to win one of these smart alecks to the Lord. You don't believe it, you tackle them. I mean, it's hard to go into college or university and just go talk to the psychology professor and the sociology professor and the man that's sitting in the professor's chair and say, listen, I don't come in here and talk to you about Jesus. I don't know if you're saved. Why, listen, he'll boot you out. Why, he said that's just for the ignorant. Why, he said I've learned better, and yet he's doing worse. Have you ever heard of that? People said, well, you see, we do not accept the Bible as the authority for the creation of the... Well, I do. He don't speak for me. And he look at me like I'm sort of dumb, yet I'm not happy, and he is. I mean, I sing more than he does. May not sing any better, but I sing more. And what I sing better than what he tries to sing. And I see, what they got won't work. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have any satisfying portion this morning. Don't make any difference how much education you got. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now, wait a minute. Let's see who the gospel hider is. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, the question is, who's the God of this world? Who is the God of this world? You say it's Jesus? No. You say it's our Heavenly Father? No. No, sir. The God of this world, notice, this world, that's Satan. And I can prove it to you. More people drink liquor. More people smoke cigarettes. More people cuss. More people live in sin. More people live like the devil. Why? Because the devil is the God of this world. And more people follow the devil. Don't you know what I'm talking about? More people live wrong than live right. I'm going to have something to say about civil rights. But I'm going to preach some on uncivil wrongs. I don't know why somebody hadn't thought about that. We need somebody to protest uncivil wrongs instead of civil rights. And if I preached on that, it'd just be uncivilized wrongs. I mean, I don't understand why people can't see that the devil is the one that's blinding people, and the trouble's in the heart, is in the heart. Now then, let's go back. Since we found out the gospel hider, now, if there's any boy here that doesn't understand the message this morning, and this message doesn't get in your heart, you let the devil snatch away the seed before it got in. And I tell you what you're going to do. If you sit there thinking about going home or wishing you was away from here or wishing you could go drink a Coca-Cola or watch television or you wish you could run off or you wish you could be back in the hog pen, now that's the devil stealing away the word. Yes. He's here. He's here. And when you haven't got your mind on Jesus this morning, haven't got all the word, that's the devil stealing away the word. He's going to snatch it away just sure as I'm fixing to plant it. I'm just fixing to get out the gospel seed now, and I'm going to just broadcast it. And if you let it inside your mind and into your heart, you'll be blessed. Now then, let's read on. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now that's out where the people are. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, or give me attention, or listen, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And somebody got all fouled up right there. You know why these boys are fouled up? They let the fowls get them. You know why you boys came crooked? You know why you come mean and ugly and full of the devil and profanity and filth and profession and cursing and all? You know why? It's because the old devil didn't let you get the right seed back there, see? We didn't get there. Now, we got to get that old ugly seed out and put the right seed in. We got to get the soil ready so we can plant. We got to get it pulverized. You know, you just don't go out here in one of these farms and just say, well, I believe I'll just throw out some seed and come back and we'll pick cotton in the fall. Oh, no, brother. They got to plow it, harrow it down, bed it, plant it, and then they got to get the weeds out. And my, there's a lot of things. And boys, we got a boy crop down here. We got a boy crop. That's a real good crop, too. And it's coming on pretty good. Yes, sir, some of it's a little green. And some of it looked like it's awful close to the weeds, but we're going to get the weeds out of you. We're going to get the weeds out of you. Just listen. And you know, isn't it strange? But about the time we decide we're going to just reap a harvest, well, all of a sudden, one of our main stalks of corn runs off. Won't even stay in the field. That's strange, isn't it? What do you think an old farmer, he get out there and plant some nice corn and cotton and go out there some morning and said, well, where'd my cotton go? Well, somebody said, I saw it run across my field. Another man said, I saw it over here behind my store smoking a cigarette. Isn't that strange? Our crop runs off every once in a while. Isn't that? I mean, some of our crop run off. Of course, we went and got it back, planted again. And we did some real, I think, some real fertilizing. And we did some grubbing and had a good time. But the Lord, listen, when he sowed some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up, so that they're gone now. All right, boys, there's one type of soil that's all over. The wayside soil is no good. And did you know that's where a lot of boys like to be? They like to be right by the wayside. They want to be where all the traffic is, you know, and everybody's coming and going. And hello, Bill. Hello, Margie. Hello. And they like to be out there, you know, all that. See, that's where they want to be. Right by the wayside. They don't have, why, you never will grow a crop there, because the Bible said the wayside seeds, soil is no good. Some fell upon stony places. Watch it now. Stony place, that doesn't sound like a good place. I don't believe that'll be good soil. Stony places, but I'll wait and see what he says. Where they had not much earth. Now that means a little shallow, topwater type of a believer, you know, listener, see? And so the seed got out there on the stony soil, and it didn't have much the earth. In other words, it didn't have enough to cover it. There wasn't much soil. And I'm not going to tell on anybody, but I'll tell you one thing. I was walking, you know, taking a walk, and way out in the grove, and came up on, and it was a lady. A lady had a ladder, brother, and she was at the top of the trees. I mean, a lady, see? And I saw the ladder, and I looked on up the ladder, and finally, I looked up, and there she was. And you talk about picking fruit. I mean, she was going after the last of our oranges, you see? I mean, she was... but really, it was just a race between she and the birds, because I tell you, if I'd have brought my shotgun, it'd have been a bird hunt going on down here. These old blackbirds with their long bills, they sure run in our oranges, you know that? But there's some of them they won't get. And so I thought, well, now that's strange. That lady up there picking oranges, but you see, I think her husband saw me coming and run. And because he would have been up there, but you see, I stood around, I thought, I'll catch him too directly. And sure enough, in a little while, here he comes sauntering up, see? Yeah. And so caught him right out. But you know what? I believe if I was going to steal anything, I'd steal something good. Did you know that? I really would. But you know what? Have you ever noticed when boys get to stealing, one of the things they steal is cigarettes? Well, I'm telling you the truth. I'd rather steal rattlesnakes. And I sure don't want to have any fellowship with rattlesnakes. But I mean, isn't it strange? And another thing they'll steal beer. And isn't that strange that anybody would steal poison and think, well, boy, I really got somewhere. Well, now the devil's stealing away the word. The devil is the biggest thief in this world. And did you know that every thief in this place right now and out in Radio Land is a child of the devil? And that's where they learn to steal. And every liar is a child of the devil, because he's the father of all lies. If he's the father of all lies, he'd have to be the father of all liars. And so if you lie and do not tell the truth, it means that you're a child of the devil. Now, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, that's the way some people are. They just hear the word, and maybe they jump at it for a little bit, and they have one of these little Alka-Seltzer experiences, you know, and bubbling, you know, fizz, and then it's all over. I mean, that's it, because they didn't have any depth to it. A lot of you folks smile like y'all taking Alka-Seltzer. Well, verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. We might as well face it. We might as well face it. 3 out of 4 actually that hear the gospel will never bring forth a harvest. 5 out of 10, the Bible says, we're not ready. And 9 out of 10, we're not grateful. Think that over a little while. And I tell you, I don't believe the percentages have changed any. You boys, some of you have never learned to say thank you. You're the same little ungrateful rebel that you were back yonder. But you've never learned to say thank you to Jesus. You've never learned to praise Him. You've never learned to fall on your knees at night and say, thank you, dear Lord, for letting me live. You'd never get up in the morning and fall on your knees by the side of your bed. You'd say, I'm ashamed. Ashamed of Jesus? You mean the one that gives you every breath you draw? You mean the one that made the sun come up this morning? You mean the one that made this grass green? You mean the one that gave us that nice fruit out there in the grove? You mean you're ashamed of somebody that made everything? You mean you're ashamed of the one you're going to stand before any minute now and give an account for the deed done? You mean you're ashamed of Him? I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. And yet, some of you boys will get up and you'll go through the day, you'll never read the Word of God. You'll never pray, you'll never talk to God, you'll never say thank you for anything, and the only time you ever bow your heads when you come in, just before you get a bite to eat, or get you a plate full of something to eat. I mean, some of you have never learned to have fellowship with the Lord. And unless you learn, you'll never amount to the snap of your finger for God, and you'll never be happy. You're going to have to learn to have unbroken communion and fellowship with the Lord. And so He said, other fell into good ground. Here we are. Now then, I'm fixing to really plant now. Other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold. I tell you, that's good harvest, isn't it? 100-fold. It means if you plant 1 sack, you get 100 sacks. You get 100 sacks. And notice what he said, 100-fold. And some 60-fold. That's kind of coming down, isn't it? I believe I'd like the 100-fold, wouldn't you? And some 30-fold. Some 30-fold. Now notice what it is. 100, 60, and 30. You know what I believe that means? I believe it means that when the gospel started being preached, they had 100-fold yield. At Pentecost, they had 3,000 souls saved one day. That's 100-fold in it. Well, that's a good crop. It's a tremendous crop. Think about 3,000 people going to the spiritual gin in one day. 3,000 bales ginned off in one day. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's a real crop. But, wait a minute. A little later on, she began to dwindle. She began to dwindle. 60. Had 60-fold. You know when that was? Well, that's long when they had great revivals. You know, maybe an awakening, a spiritual awakening. They had a 60-fold, but he's coming on down. 30-fold. That's not a very good yield. I believe we'll close out in the 30-fold yield. That's now. They're not getting much harvest anymore. The soil has been poisoned and sold hard cake, and it's churchified and religious-fied and denominationalized, and it's cold and hard, and the old tear ducts are stopped up, and nobody seems to care whether people go to hell or heaven anymore. Fact is, people act like they don't even believe in hell or heaven, and they don't believe the Word of God, and they're not any burden, and no revival fires like they used to be. And so we're down to the 34. Well, he said, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Boys, tune in now. Did you know that what you have may not be but a little bit, but if you let Jesus have it, he'll add to it? But I got something else I better warn you with. To you fellas that don't have anything, and yet you do have something, but you won't use what you've got for the Lord, he'll take it away from you. He'll strip you of even that which you do have. Why? You wouldn't use it for God. What right do you have to keep it anyhow? Let me ask you a question. What right do you fellas have to 2 good eyes if you won't read the Bible? What if the Lord came and visited your cabin tonight about midnight and said, okay, Bill, Henry, Charlie, Louis, wake up. I want to talk to you a minute. Do you read my word every day? Well, not every day, no. Do you pray and talk to me every... Well, no, not every... He said, listen, I tell you what I'm fixing to do. I'm going to give you one more chance. The first day that you do not read my word, I'm plucking both of your eyes out. You'll wake up some morning and you'll not see one ray of light. And you'll think it's still dark and it'll be middle of the day. I'm taking your eyes away from you if you ever go another day without reading my word. I'm going to tell you something else. Now, you've been just a big blabbermouth to everybody else, but you never talk to me. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut your tongue out. I mean, I'm going to fix you where you'll never utter one more word. The rest, until you learn to talk with me, I'll fix you where you can't talk to anybody else on the face of this earth. And you'll be writing notes the rest of your life. What about it? What about it? What would you do? Oh, you'd say, well, I tell you what I'd do. I'd get to reading the Bible. All right, why don't you do it then? I'm talking to you about something that's real. Why don't you read the Word of God? Eat the scrambled eggs and everything we can throw down you and want some more and holler for seconds and thirds and all the rest of it. Why don't you come after some seconds and thirds with the Lord? I'll tell you why. Some of you dead in trespasses and sin. You've never been born again, and dead people don't get hungry. And then some of you got sick spiritually and lost your appetite because you've been feeding on too much junk. Some of you rather listen to rock and roll records than to listen to deeper Brother Jackson sisters. Can you imagine that? Why, that's the sweetest music I just about ever heard in my life. Now, I've been traveling for years listening to people saying, why, listen, don't talk to me about that filth that you get on most of your radio stations today. Ought to be against the law to play it. If I was a member of the FCC, I'd cut the whole shooting match off there. I said, get that dirt and that filth off there. That's lustful music and sorry, immoral music. Worse than the jungles of Africa. And yet some of you boys slip around and won't listen to that. No wonder you can't keep your radio. I don't blame them. I'd take them away from you, too. If I ever get you listening to that kind of junk, I'll jerk your radio away from you. You don't have any right. I don't believe in that kind of filth. I believe God's people listen. You're going to give an account to God for what you see and for what you hear and what you listen to. All right? He said, whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore, speak out of them in parable, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they've closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted. And I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In other words, he said, you'll be happy about it. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Boys, here's the interpretation for you. There are a lot of boys in this country that would like to be here instead of in the jailhouse. They'd like to have the opportunity you have. And I tell you, more and more, we're going to give every boy an opportunity. And if he doesn't take advantage of it, we give somebody else that opportunity. I just believe this. We ought to have sense enough to stay put until God does his work. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now wait, here it is. He's going to give an explanation now. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. I told you. You know who the wicked one is? That's the devil. This is he which receives seed by the wayside, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Look like he's having a good time. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, just endures a little bit. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. That's it. Oh, there's nothing that'll deceive you like money. You think you got everything when you have exactly nothing. Miserable, miserable, miserable people. You'll never be happy without Christ. But he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now then, he gives us another parable, and boys, watch this when we're living in this time. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept. When people went to sleep. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now listen, A tare is something that looks like wheat, but it's not. And it's like a church member that comes to church but never been saved. It's like a religious man that can put on his choir robe and sing in the choir, never has known the Lord. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Now this is always a rather touchy verse or two. He said, No, or nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Now, boys, we're not the one that knows finally whether you're saved or not, but we'll have to go by your fruits. Let both go together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, this is a very serious matter, and I'm going to close the message, I believe, with this. He said, now, there are tares and wheat. Now, the Lord sows the wheat, and the devil sows the tares, but they look alike. And you can't tell one from the other until they get real grown and the harvest is come. And when they're growing, they're green and they're nice, and they're going right up together, and it looks like, my, I couldn't tell the tare. Wait a minute. I'll guarantee you when this thing's over, you'll tell them apart. When we come to the end of the trail, we'll tell us apart. And so then he said, now, shall we go pluck them up? He said, no, just let me take care of that. Now, he said, I'm going to take the tares and put them in bundles. Now, we're in the bundle stage now. We're in the bundle stage. We got the denominational bundle. We got the economic bundle. We got the National Council of Church bundle. And we've got the labor union bundle. See, everything's in the bundle stage now. And brother, as far as I'm concerned, the bundles are the ones that are to be burned. Just put it down. It's the bundles that's going to be burned. But notice what happened. Before they burn the bundles, he's going to take the wheat home. He's got to put that in the barn. And I'm fixing to head for the barn. I don't know where you want to go to the barn or not, but I do. I'm just ready for the reaper to come and take out his wheat. And praise the Lord, I don't deserve to be wheat, but I am, because he's the one planted me. See, I didn't plant myself. I'd have been a tare. In fact, as I was a tare, I did a good deal of tearing around. I really did. And I got on some tares. But praise the Lord, there was a day when Jesus came and planted the word in my heart. And so I want you to remember this now. The bundles all ready for the burning, but they'll never burn until the wheat has gone to the barn. Now that means exactly this, boys and friends. That means that the rapture's going to take place, and out goes the wheat, and the bundles, they'll be in the fire, and that'll be the tribulation time. And oh, such a time, as the world has never, and the stage is set right now. That's going to be the burning of the bundles. And I'm going to have me a grandstand seat from the sky, but I won't be down here. That's what we call the blessed hope. And soon the Savior will come. Are you ready for his coming? Oh, I tell you, I often sing that little verse that said, I may not know the skillful use of tongue or pen to prove my Lord's return to unbelieving men. But this I know, he's coming back again. It's in my heart, down in my heart. And oh joy, oh delight, should he come without dying, no sickness, no dread, no fear, and no crying. Caught up in the clouds with our Lord up in glory. When Jesus receives his own. And oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we we shout that glad song. Christ returned it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Boys, I sure want you ready. I've been wanting to take you right in my plane. I mean, I've been wanting to take all of you for an airplane ride, and I believe Jesus is about ready to take you for a plane air ride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, you could get in my airplane without being saved. Wouldn't be best. I'd rather you be saved. Fact is, everybody rides with me, I wouldn't be saved. But if we're riding through the air, and it comes time for the plane air ride, and you look over, and I'll be gone. If you're unsaved, that old plane will start wobbling around. After a while, of course, if it's on automatic pilot, it'd fly 4, 5, maybe 6 hours. But oh, directly she'd begin to sput and sputter, and you'd begin to get scared, and down she'd come. Oh, listen, folks. You're driving along in a car with a saved car driver, you know, and look over, and the car driver's gone. The old car's cutting across ditches and so forth. And my soul. Look out and you see an old tractor coming across this lawn out here, heading right up to this door, crashing through this window, and said, what in the world? The tractor driver was a Christian. He's gone now. Mm-hmm. Are you listening? You may smile about it, boys, and that's all right, but the time's going to come. Maybe today. Jesus may come in a minute. Are you ready for his coming? Do you believe in Jesus as your personal Savior right now? I want you to, more than anything else. Little boy came from a distant city last night and said he came down, you know, and made his decision. And he told me, said, Brother, after service, he said, Brother Olaf, how do you know you're saved? Said, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. He said, I guess I've been confused. My heart went out to him, and I talked with him and gave him the scripture. You mean, he said, if I believe that Jesus died and rose again, you mean that I'm saved? He said, I do right now. Said, I believe it. I believe it. He said, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I believe that's just good sense. I really do. I don't want to go to hell. I know I'm going to heaven. I put my trust in Jesus. Oh, listen, dear friend. I'm trusting him fully and wholly to get me to heaven. And boys and ladies and folks out in radio land, that's God's plan to get you to heaven. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.